interrupting the current neo-coronial cricketism to bring you behind the woodshed. This is Cricket Tude Busting episode BTWRLM 458. Those of you that may want to do a search later, like, I don't know how you're going to know that in the future, but we do this anyway. Thanks to Vinny suggesting it. And it does help a little bit. You can go through and search out those episodes to get what the content that I'll post later, many hours from now. Many, many hours from now, as we continue to try and just get information out to people. And I guess the theme for today is going to be, especially with what's going on in the world, again, we're continuing to protest, and the news seems to be the biggest news is Canada. And good on you, go for it. But let's see, we're talking about enemies of the law, folks. We need to point that out. And I've offered quickly in the Twitter, and I made a mistake, which Twitter didn't let me delete, and then we ran out of time. I changed it again. Everybody going to Ottawa, pass the word. Anybody going to any place that's the government, put a notice, a quick little notice, and tell them that the failure to demonstrate a non-fraudulent exigency for the emergency makes their orders null and void. And then sign that and keep a copy. I guess you could say a little bit more. There's more to say, but for this broadcast and just getting the word out, have that copy of that in your pocket with your bag of law. And that creates that administrative, as little as that is, it starts to create an administrative record. If you know that, then you can start asserting it against anybody that's starting to press you. Does it mean you win because you have it? No, but at least it gives you a standing in the law that they have to administratively deal with it now. And it's not disposed. And you prefaced it by the non-fraudulent exigency that must be demonstrated. It's the same theme I've been talking about ever, relative to this thing. It's really the only way that we can attack it, because if you saw immediately the judiciary failed, and it handed the power to the executive to determine. And in fact, there's no authority to determine until they demonstrate a non-fraudulent exigency, necessity for the emergency they declare. This becomes important in Canada, as I may get to the very end of this broadcast to give you a link. Jordan Peterson was communicating with a gentleman who used to be Pickford or something, back in Eastern Canada. He wrote the law of your charters. I want to bring that to you because he's pressing a lawsuit. But everybody is missing the initial point. Everybody's making an issue over things that are not relevant until the government can show that they have a non-fraudulent exigency upon which they're acting. And so I won't go there. I want to stop here now and move on to the things I've been missing in last week and important stuff, natural stuff. Anyway, if you guys all get going to Ottawa in any government, you put your notice in, you start your administrative process and show, and then you explain to anybody who doesn't have the order that disposed of that. Now that's your administrative record you've just made, that they have to dispose before they can impose anything on you. And if you go look at your communicable disease laws, you'll see that's the point. That's the whole thing I've been talking about, sticking back in their face as they violate you. They don't have a right to do that. It's not about protesting. It's not about moving about the country. It's about getting the first order of business done, which is having the government declare its non-fraudulent necessity for taking any action at all. And there is no test. And so, but moving over to stuff I don't want us to miss, just a point of reference. It blows me away. Mother Nature just blows me away how powerful. This happened actually a couple weeks ago. I didn't understand at the point of seeing a couple of videos that this was a major event. One of the most major events I think we would see in our lifetimes in the world. Even though it's only 11 times, it's a magnitude less powerful. We can now see evidence, the photos from Tonga volcano collapsing just before eruption. If you did know, I'm sorry, I just got to mention this, but I didn't know how big this thing really was. I underestimated what it was doing. But we now have photos of this Tongan volcano, which is mostly subsurface ocean, in an area, very dynamic area, geologically dynamic area. It's next to the Tongan Trench, which is the second deepest place in the ocean. It also would swallow Mount Everest with 1,000 feet over the top, if I understand the dimensions right. We have evidence from satellites, very fascinating things to watch as the core of this volcano collapses right before it explodes, and it creates probably the largest explosion we may have ever witnessed, so-called, if we're not there, witnessed in our lifetimes. It had a shock wave that went out, and it could be seen in the atmosphere traveling, again, by satellites. Shockwave that went, they're claiming around the world, the only reports I've seen is pressure waves way over in the eastern United States that registered this pressure wave that went through the atmosphere. A cloud, a plume, 170 miles in diameter as this thing ejected. All the stuff it had put down in December, it ejected, it blew up and put into the atmosphere and on the ground and everywhere else in the ocean and everything in just a moment. And what's very interesting, at the very same time this is coming along, and I didn't appreciate it, I was also researching or revisiting a technology that I'd seen back in the early 2000s relative to utilizing, I was looking at cavitation and the power of cavitation and putting it into use. And I revisited a technology someone invented, the use of a cavitation. It's the collapsing of a system, of a collapsing of a space, and not the expansion of a space. And the collapsing of a space can do some very interesting, powerful things. In this case, the way the system was accidentally made, and they observed the collapsing of a system would enable a supersonic pressure wave to be developed, which they then modified to be thrust. They could make it thrust. What I was looking at was an old patent, an old idea for an alternative to, let's say, a jet ski motor that they could drive a watercraft. A friend of mine sent me a link relative to the same idea being used for fire suppression, because what this collapsing wave does is it atomizes everything within the collapsed field, and then it ejects it at supersonic speeds. And so I'm looking at this volcano, and I'm thinking, wow, look at the dynamic. We may have a mechanism for what really went on, how there could be so much power. Something that was so powerful, it is scaring people into believing we may be looking at the volcanic winter. I'm not so sure. Interestingly for me as well, because climate change is killing us all and freezing us to death this year, they were worried that we would have a cooling of the Earth because of this is in the southern hemisphere now. I doubt that we're going to see much northern hemisphere action. However, they weren't interested in carbon dioxide. They were interested in the sulfur dioxide that came out of that volcanic explosion and went toward Australia, as if those people don't have enough to consider. However, I don't know that this is going to be the catastrophic winter that they've been talking about. It is impressive, though. 175-mile ash plume. It disrupted communications to the island, the capital. I don't know why quite there, but they got it restored. But this thing, the whole crown collapsed in, and then shortly after, and there's evidence of this when you get these links, there's evidence that you could see the silting water from around the ridge, the edges, that this thing shortly after blew up. Now, whether or not that was because the core collapsed in, or whether there was intrusion of water, last weekend in the chat I mentioned it was probably a steam explosion. But I was thinking more because of the dynamics of the geology there. It was coming from behind the subduction part, coming back in and somehow bringing it. Well, it almost looks as if now with the collapse of the core, the seawater may have rushed in at the collapse. And that did one of two things, either a direct explosion. This is an expansion of water, the power of water expanding to steam immediately. Or this is one of those actually collapsing a cavitation event, which then caused the same atomization of all the ground, all the dirt and all this stuff, and threw it up in the air and then made a pressure wave go at supersonic speed across the world. So fascinating stuff. I just get excited about this. It's the whole dynamic over there is pretty neat. I know I'm talking a little bit long. Maybe you're not interested in it, but I think we need to understand there's a dynamic world. She's relatively calm, Mother Nature is, seemingly. I'm a little bit disappointed on that. But when you see this stuff, you realize, and it's a magnitude less than Krakatoa, which was in history and caused some trouble. We get to see how quickly things can change around us. Maybe not everywhere. And what the things that, I don't know about worrying about it, but we have to consider these things that are real, not man-made, not made up, except that when they're man-made things like this, we really probably are looking at crime. So these photos are fascinating to look at. What they can catch with satellites is amazing. We can see a volcanic, an island that exists and then it's disappeared, except for its extremities. Those stayed. We see the power of nature. We see, if you look at that whole area, it's fascinating. I'm saddened to think all the life, the sea life that kind of got destroyed there. Apparently a 50-foot wave got, tidal wave got, tsunami got generated. I didn't get to see everything, but I don't get to see evidence. But see, think about that, a 50-foot wall of water coming at an island that may not be much more than 10 or 15 feet up above the sea level. And you live there, which is another foible of man, I suppose. But at any rate, a very unprecedented disaster, the government called it. Just the scientists, the science, the geology behind it, the dynamic behind that, got me. I don't know about all the unprecedented disaster. That's Mother Nature. She's doing her thing. It's a sight to behold, I think we need to understand these things, so real science, the real physical, tangible things that go on, then I think we are, we need to arrest the man-made disasters, and we need to be in awe, essentially, of the natural so-called disaster. I always find it interesting, we call it nature disastrous, so it just seems to be an outcome-based idea anyway. Like maybe we shouldn't place ourselves in positions that we become vulnerable, but this tidal wave that went out destroyed a bit of Chile. The tidal wave that went out went all the way up into and inundated places like the United States and Santa Cruz. And it was heard, which I'm very disappointed at, because we hear explosions here and there, and I always wonder where the anomalous explosions. And it's very possible, had I known this thing went off, we may have heard it ourselves. I'm sensitive to the sounds a bit, just because this is how it works. You've got to really pay attention to nature. She's subtle. But this sound apparently was heard in Alaska. And this is a magnitude less, 10 times less than the Krakatoa volcano that blew up in the beginning of our, historic meanderings around the world, as we understand this no modern world. But they then issued a tsunami warning subsequent to that one. A couple days later, now everyone's on it. What's interesting is the government had predicted it was dormant. I don't understand how they even did this. Predicted it was dormant just about a day before it blows up. So, again, we need to be aware. Government science is still learning. It's always going to be learning. It's never really have the idea of proof. We got to be careful ourselves for in these so-called disasters, natural events that the government dismisses. In all the faith we put in the government and the worker and the good nature that the scientists that are studying this are, I'm sure they're very happy and excited about this, but we got to be very careful about not giving over our awareness to people who claim to be experts, even in this. But anyway, fantastic explosion, cool technology capturing the event, just an amazing awesomeness, if you will, just the force of nature working right around us, I guess. We're quite a bit of ways, but how we can be affected from far away is really kind of an interest. And part of why we always got to keep aware. Another disaster, man-made disaster, moving on now. And a thing I'm really concerned with a bit. Although it seems to be a lot of saber rattling, and the problem here for me is here in the United States, where we're located, behind the woodshed is, the government of the federal government of this country, over us people, is a tyrant. I don't even understand most of it that way, but I think. I don't even know how to describe it. It's not diplomacy what's working in the world, and it's not even really force of arms because they're not really wielding it. That we really have to be careful, and I'm hoping there's a lot of cool minds on the other side of this threat, and I think there is in Putin and Russia. that we don't move this thing in Ukraine on. I'm going to just give you a quick little thing they're promoting. And if you look very carefully, and if it ever becomes a discussion amongst people, we need to start amongst telling ourselves the truth of the fact of who's instigating and telling stories. We need to pass the word that, in this case, we see from Moon of Alabama, a statement, a parthogenetic conflict. In other words, likening it to the, say, a lizard, where you have a asexual reproduction. This is the virgin birth of a disaster that's being fomented by the United States when there, in fact, is no disaster at all. And the war machine is attempting to cause a problem that they can get themselves involved, and the profiteers that step in, just like the man-made disaster of COVID, they do the man-made disaster of war. There's cooler heads so far prevailing. Even Ukraine is calling out the problem, and the United States won't give up. This is a problem for us in the United States, and for what I try to explain to people in the United States, and for anybody really everywhere, what the government will do abroad, they're doing to you. And so I don't see any difference. This parthogenetic, chimeric attack on everywhere, every way, and nobody really responds. And you see, it's interesting that Russia's not responding in a way. In this case, for that, it is probably the proper thing to do. And so, we again, the psychopaths in Washington, I don't even get it. I don't even understand it. But as the people get lost in this, don't realize what's going on, they believe the most, as you see most of your society capitulating, maybe not as much now, but capitulating to the COVID fraud narrative, how quickly they fell, how quickly they lost their minds, how quickly now most of them that didn't critically protect themselves are going to be suffering, just terribly, medically now, being brought subject to now this tyranny. And now will be unable to defend themselves. So goes the United States and the world against other countries to foment things that really have no sense. That in a peaceful world, even amongst the differences of nations and their ideologies and what they think they need to do, notwithstanding Machiavelli's truths, we would seek a better way to approach our problems. The United States wants apparently, well, again, if you understand the origins of the United States, it's a commerce-driven nation. It was fallen before it got started, actually. The Treaty of Peace that was assigned, people don't understand what it actually did, and it put us on a commerce footing, and it put us into that as the primary mission. And so, essentially, what happens is the government then goes, and then Congress was given the overriding power in commerce, and they've expanded that into the world, and that's what they're promoting. And so we didn't realize maybe the wolf in sheep clothing, that all of its aspirations that were made and the promotion about the United States, there's also this dark reality sitting inside there. And nobody checked that at all, and nobody checks it, and we're not checking it right now as we see the pharmaceutical system. Given, as I, you know, the statement I was pointing out last week, that they're making, the pharmaceutical companies are ensuring we will stay sick, and the government's here to make that legal. So we got a little bit to think about. So all of us, I think Gary Leal on the Twitter, I think I noticed real quickly as I was trying to, as my Twitter was interfering with my view of people, I think I got a glimpse of Gary Leal saying, we're looking at, you know, you got to go look in the mirror and see who's causing this problem. Again, we're the ones that didn't quite act quite right, and we've allowed this thing to keep going, and it's just, I don't see how it fixes itself on its own. I really don't. For as much as we would hate, but we don't want to do that and involve ourselves and get, if you will, what do you call, civically active, and try not to put bias on that word. This is just people saving themselves from organized crime that's infiltrated inside systems of government. And that we weren't up to the task, to the point where I looked at this outlandish little story here, moving on into, we're into, you know, the state of war. We're fomenting wars everywhere. We got enemies everywhere, to the point that As outlandish as it sounded, it still was requested. FedEx asked FAA to let it install anti-missile lasers on its cargo planes. Anti-missile lasers on its cargo planes. With the right military equipment, a single person could target a plane from 3 miles away using a heat-seeking missile. While such a nightmare is a rare occurrence, FedEx has applied to FAA seeking the approval of to install a laser-based anti-missile defense system on its cargo planes as an added safety measure. Now, just on the surface, I'm thinking, well, that threat has to be offshore, and we read the story, and we do. We find out that it is, because here in the right to bear arms nation of the United States, I don't know of anybody that has a man pad or a device, a heat-seeking missile that's shoulder-fired in the United States. For all the vociferous right to bear arms that we have, we're pretty much a people of cowardice, and have it pushed back about how we're going to protect ourselves from this military coup that's been going on in the government legalizing that pharmaceutical companies will keep us sick and keep us diminished in our ability to defend ourselves from the government that the Bill of Rights says we were to do so and have right to do so. And I'm only offering that before you just go pull triggers, you need to set the basis similarly to the Declaration of Independence. But see, we have instead of an ought condition, we have a maladministration right. When we see maladministration, we get to alter and abolish. We just have to identify what that is. So that's in international law, that's a notice problem. And so we have to give that notice. And my first inclination to suggest how that would work was in Virginia. Years ago now, with their movement, 95% of their people said the gun restrictions were too much. We found out we could look at it was maladministration, went to their constitution. It only took 3 articles right at the beginning to get to the point in a colonial state. You don't get this in these other states. How you go about doing that, which I found, again, it was an education process for me, how quickly we could get to the point. And now that didn't follow through, but I told you that failure was our notice that we would fail in the future unless we fixed that. That I told you what was coming, which hadn't been COVID yet, would require that we organize ourselves in those thoughts and those methods. And they would require us making our notice, our written notice of where the failure is, so that they don't call you a terrorist. So they don't, you step outside of the presumed status of an enemy combatant that they'd put on you back in 9/11, the continuation of that. So all this is tied together. Maybe people don't hear it, don't see it, don't understand what I'm saying. Everything I tell you here, I've been using the record, the years, literally the years of all this time, even talking to you all the same time, to make a record relative to our condition that I'm talking, that we're under attack now and under threat by, that is coming back to help. Again, the paperwork's not a shield in a completely rogue, lawless state, but where there's even the hint, as I'm suggesting the people going to Ottawa in Canada do, drop off your notice, start your administrative side question that they have to dispose and resolve before they can impose anything and before any other government can actually impose anything on you as well. If you know what I'm talking about here, reciprocity, they can't move against you at the borders either. And if you just tightened up what you thought about all this and get it on the ground, get in the black and white, and get your record set up, starts to work. You start pressing on the question, is there actually law left? A lot of people will say no. I've found when you start pressing the law, it may not bring you justice, but it certainly brings you a different outcome than most everybody else that gets beat down to the ground. But anyway, fascinating thing. The war that we're committing on everybody now requires a cargo company to ask for anti-missile lasers. Now, my mind kind of went on a little bit when you start thinking of the utopian future. Where does that stop as far as when commerce becomes the only thing? These trains that are being just attacked down in L.A., what military goes on there? What systems goes on there to start hacking people in half and these laser weapons as a defensive measure to keep commerce going at all costs? I'm not underwriting the fact that, not saying that they should be looting those trains, but that's indicative of a bigger governmental problem that the government fomented. that we need to start worrying about that. And so a couple of things came to mind, and I tracked down a little statement. Whether or not I fully agree with the guy, there's some intelligence in the world that gives us insights. Friedrich Nietzsche, he made a claim, a quote here, in individuals, insanity is rare, but in groups, parties, nations, and epochs, it is the rule. And so this, I somehow recalled that. I got this up to state it. Here is the power of the individual to keep the sanity and to realize that the group is the problem. And I've told you COVID focuses the power in the individual, if I can use the generic term and not the legal term, but don't get all, some of you know some of these terms and you know what they mean, but don't get locked in when I'm talking behind the woodshed and trying to make communication to everybody. The individual here, not the business, not the sole proprietor, not the commerce entity, not the resident, not all that stuff, just those men, women, and children, and their men, women, and their offspring, excuse me, see those words. The individual. In the individual, the insanity is rare. And I'm going to say this has been augmented by COVID, and people may not have an appreciation of how they've now been, their capacities have been interfered with. And in particular, these leads, so-called leaders, these officials that are making these insane conversations. I've told you, you can now attack them for their capacity, their mental capacity, and they can't prove that this thing hasn't affected them when the tests, the clinical observations, the VAERS system is saying, in fact, these measures that they themselves have ordered without an authority are causing the problems that will interfere with their thoughts, will interfere with their judgment. So that's another aspect I bring for you to being able to address, and you can stand in your sanity saying, wait a minute, you're the one that's done all this problem. You're causing the problem. You're a man-made disaster. I have protection against that. But individuals, in the individuals, insanity is rare. So look around the world. Before COVID, we thought ourselves pretty sane. But when you get them in groups, or the perception that they're in groups, or parties, or nations, or in a time, an epoch, and you become a part of them, being of the world, if you will, that world, its insanity becomes the rule. And I want us to remember that, because individualism, if I can go here, in the old definition, the one that meant you and me and everyone else on our own private, in our own private determination, we are not insane. It's when we group up under one cause and not our own, that the insanity creeps upon us. So enough said. I hope you need to stand up for yourself. What I've been telling you on and on, COVID, the health, the war against you in the health excuse was your power. And I told you that early on. I said they're hitting you right where you're most powerful, and they're going to make it sound like you're not powerful. And that's the trick. And you have to rise above that. You don't have to engage yourself with that insanity. Them bringing you into the Borg, into the hive, into the whatever, the herd. Remember the herd? Yeah. It's all right here, the statement, Friedrich Nietzsche. Whatever I may or may not agree with about what he said in some things, this one really struck home enough to want to spend a few minutes to talk to you about it. I want you to know the power has always been in you, every one of you, even those that haven't heard me. And it's up to you to, and I'm asking you to move it without jeopardy in that, because there's a protection in that. And the more we have moving in that direction, the less examples we have to see, we see that we kind of fear that when you're isolated, you can be targeted by the government. Well, if you've got 1.1 million Canadians moving at once, that's actually, almost 4% of their population up there. Wow. I mean, you're actually you're a bigger infection than the COVID was at almost 4%. So look at what the COVID did. Look how powerful you could be if you just took on that identity. You just bring your notice and bring an administrative notice, and you prove that there's either law or there isn't. And if there's no law, then you got nothing. There's nothing there they can tell you anyway. And then everybody knows it, right? But as long as you're just protesting and they can keep vilifying us, because we have no record, and no reliance on a black and white. You don't really support your charter for your freedoms in Canada. You don't fully understand what they did and did there and brought them in. And I'm not saying that I fully do because I'm not from there, but I do know that they're there. And after listening to the Jordan Peterson interview with the gentleman who authored that, which is a very powerful, I don't know if people appreciate this, and that's why I want to give it to you, not about Jordan Peterson, although I think he's starting to come along. I have a real question about Jordan Peterson, at least when he got started, because he was helping the sustainable development. He told them how to get at you. But I think he might have seen a difference, but I'm not about Jordan Peterson more than I am the gentleman he's talking who was the author of your charter. And if you don't understand what authorship and the power of the author means, you need to start paying attention. But he's not the answer either because he's in the second step, and that's my criticism. The charter's not under threat. The charter's not being violated. What's being violated is your communicable disease laws, which makes it look like your charter's being violated. At any rate. It looks like the parliament's being attacked, when in fact, no, the parliament's not being attacked. They've already done their job. They've made the charter, and they made the communicable disease laws that all the officials are supposed to follow. And folks, you folks need to assert that. That's part of how you're going to stand up against this. You're dealing, as I said, in enemies of the law. This is not about our emotions and the championing of what we feel is freedom and all that. Remember, freedom is a range of motion within a constraint, a frame of constraint. Freedom, not being free. And so, just, if you would, listen to what I'm suggesting you set up for yourself to give yourself the better foundation and doing so without jeopardy. At least testing how far the government official will go rogue, and you push them so far to going rogue, then it's obvious they don't belong where they are. For me, I think it's already there. It's been there as soon as they went and did the deed against us. It was predictable to be this martial medical law, martial law medical excuse. And so we can stop, as I've been saying, find your objective basis and go through that. Every official is supposed to follow it, and everybody, the officials that don't, you know who's committing treason against you. That's not such a nasty word, a misunderstood word, when you understand all that means is they're making war on your laws, your black and white laws. And they can't adjust them enough to cause that to go away, actually. They can make it look like, and in fact, an emailer, and thank you to all you that are sending me this information, showed me actually an article about 2020 where some adjustments went to Kanukistinian law, and it made it look like they gave more power to the official, the decision maker, like the premier or whatever you call them up there. But they didn't, because they can't apply that to a fraud. And I told you that's the first thing you have to identify. Why it's important you say you haven't demonstrated the non-fraudulent exigency or necessity for an emergency. You attack the issue on a point of fraud. Why? Because equity jurisdiction. Not social equity, forget that. That's off, not even on the table here. I'm talking about a jurisdiction in law. Equity jurisdiction is supposed to reject without question, immediately, if not sooner, any fraud. But that's where you stand. And so, you got to make a record, a simple record. And so I'm kind of reducing down this phrase, and on the Twitter I put on what you really just need to start the process and then stick to it. Why? Because they're not going to listen. They're waiting for y'all to go home. And you don't start a process that engages that system, and now the burden's on that system until it completes it in you relative to the black and white. It can't really move further, and if its burden is on them to show that they do have the authority, you don't have anything more to say. Unlike everybody that took my affidavits and decided that they would continue to converse with their employers and compromise their rights. Instead of just being quiet, once you put the affidavit to challenge the authority for their necessity and being quiet after that. No, everybody wants to talk because they think they know their rights. Their rights actually are in asserting an obligation and duty that's not their burden, that needs to be met in due process consideration for due process considerations, which then allows them to be quiet. Now, we get a little bit of this insanity, and another way to approach this individual, a young woman stepping up, maybe a pre-woman, what do I say, she's a teenager, and I think 12 or 13, I don't remember now, the title of this, Obedience is Best, Honor Student versus the Public School Board, and she uses sarcasm very well in this video. The audio that I have, I can't play it. I don't want to blow something out. You'll get the video. Obedience is best. Someone standing in the front of a public school board meeting who is subject to that board's rule and sarcastically explaining how great they were to impose all these abuses on her. An excellent tool if you do it well. Okay, so there's just another option for you that the young here are not seeing it. That's really a good, I like to see that on their own, not because they're reticent to agree. How creative she is great, but that there's a thought process behind it, and she is young. And this is another thing. She's not able to be young and free. This is the other problem. There's so much wrong with what's gone on, and the so-called adult insects here, the adults, allowing that she needs to be up there to say that. So here you can, obedience is best. She's saying that she appreciates having to obey their dictates. What I would like more people to say is, but they haven't developed the jurisdiction to do so. And challenge that. Challenge every so-called official for the non-fraudulent exigency, the non-fraudulent basis upon which they believe they act. And any place in rule of law and democracy, model law requires that due process. And they necessarily, see, this is the thing that I don't quite get into, why it's even an argument. It necessarily, if you violate the due process, you necessarily will violate, as an official, any rights that were involved. Any extensions, any consequence will be a violation. And people don't appreciate that, and so they focus, but they focus on the violation. Well, my rights are being involved. Yeah, be infringed. Yeah, it's good. That's a consequence. You haven't focused on the first thing. They wouldn't necessarily be infringed if the official properly invoked the authority, the jurisdiction to have an authority to make a decision. And so I would really love people to start focusing on the first step of error, the first step of wrong. It's not the people's wrong. It's not the people's burden. Go right where the authority and duties and obligations were diminished. Were diminished in you by their failure, by their dereliction to follow the duty the legislature's already done their job and fulfilled. Anyway, so again, I just don't know when I see this stuff. It's kind of neat to see people gathering together, and then the environment that you're in, I can't imagine winter up in Kanukistan. Everybody's out there, but what are they doing? Are they dropping their notes off, starting the administrative process to stop against them, the imposition of a void order? Why? Because you said so. You didn't consent. That's how you don't consent. And then taking every step to protect that they don't get around that, the government, the official, tends to violate you even further. You just start calling them out on it. No different than I took 7 months to find every rat hole they would crawl out of and plugged it, and then showed every law, black and white, that was in violation while they did it. Is that going to mean anything? Well, it does in the record. And if there's anybody I can identify now, it's a test. Are you an official of character? Of oath, of fidelity to your oath. People don't think that's important, but boy, I tell you what, when you start seeing what that does in your mind, when you start realizing these people are criminals, there's very few of integrity. It starts to expose that spaghetti western, and it's a different problem than it's a different way. You start finding out how few individuals that there are, how many groups there might be, and you start seeing a different difficulty, not an impossibility, but a difficulty in approaching it. And it changes how you can see this and perceive it and how you move. My response to this and perception of it is you make a written notice that nobody can refute. In particular, the official that claims the authority to be ruling the roost or running the herd ragged. Following up on a sarcastic response to a public official in a teenage girl. Fascinating. Great stuff. It's not over yet, folks. We have an example to these young ones if they're not already their own example. And they need to be encouraged in that. Not for the sake of the fact of being sarcastic. It's the sake of understanding the wrong and speaking out against it. Not consenting in more proper ways. We also see in a video I'm going to give to you, the title of which says, "The Recordings of Possible Botched Administration of COVID Vax on Kids. Some people got the wrong one." In fact, it may not be the wrong one. It was a incorrect mixture. And I have a hard time even discussing this. This came from Project Veritas as if those things are needed and valid at all in any mixture. So I want to caution you on my perception here. I want you to know, for those of you, the girl that's in the prior responding sarcastically to this group of leaders, so-called, believing they can destroy people's lives, is the one that escaped this effect at this point. But maybe her friend won't, where you do agree to go get these vaccinations, and the people that are involved giving the vaccinations, but for one or two, the one that actually tells you now after the fact, they're actually making decisions, public-private partnership implementation of this vaccination program, and I just misspoke, didn't I? Because these are not vaccinations by the actual definition, at least not the one that was contorted by the CDC to allow the chemical weapon attack on you, that they were mixed with the wrong thing. So if you think that, even if it was a good thing, if you think that they understand, they explain, they don't know what these things do. They don't even know why they have to mix in a certain way. They don't know if they mix something that you would think would work, what that effect was, because it's never, any of it has never been tested. In this case, you would think adding bacteriostatic water to the injection to dilute it, because that's what they're supposed to do, would be okay. But apparently adding anything bacteriostatic instead of sodium chloride, just saline salt to it, has an effect. Now, my thought on that, and we don't know, and the emailer that sent me the question, and we did a little quick analysis, I did a deep dive I won't talk to you more about. You can do all this stuff yourself, but it's not important yet until we get an answer, really. We don't know what that does, and they say so, but you think anything bacteriostatic, antibacterial in there would be good, but in fact, that is not to be used. The only thing they want in that to dilute their chemical weapon is saline, salt. So your little ones in some jurisdictions, they weren't too keen on keeping the mixture right at either. So you can go ahead and decide that for your little one. Decide against the sarcasm of a student who sees the problem against her will. Or you can pay attention. We got horrible care, folks. That's all I can tell you. The nurse was right. This is where it's going, horrible care. It's medical care by committee and by profit, really. And when the nurses who care give a call, the private company doesn't give the right answer and evades and runs away and doesn't do anything until one of the nurses who has a conscience comes out to tell you. They don't care about your little ones. It's not about that at all. It's not about prevention. It's not about it's not about anything more than moving commerce forward and bringing you dependent upon the medical system and even in unto death, and maybe quickly, as we see the next information now, worldwide exclusive, embalmers find veins and arteries filled with never-before-seen rubbery clots. There's a link. You'll go to there. Dr. Jane Ruby meets with board-certified embalmer and funeral director Richard Hirschman, who reveals for the first time ever, arteries filled with unnatural blood clot combinations with strange fibrous materials that are completely filling the vascular system. Many of the victims reported died of heart attacks and strokes. Mr. Hirschman reports that he found resistance when he tried to embalm these jabbed patients, and then he found these strange materials and pulled them from the large vessels of the body. He also reported that he was gone from seeing 50% of embalmed cases with these types of blockages rise to almost 80%. You read his, I want you to see this. I want you to understand this is coming from, I'll accept what his authority, I'll accept what he does, his time for doing it. He has pictures, it's graphic, but he has pictures, and that's what you're injecting your little ones with. And they want to be hesitant about saying that it causes it, but I already know that the clinical tests were anticipating this problem within the veins, and the material that they were using causes the linkages and clotting. This is showing you that there's actually the body's responding, and what it's end up doing to protect itself, it starts to build this fibrous white material, not clotted blood material, which intermingles, and it eventually reduces your ability to have blood flow. So much so that he cannot, as an embalmer, drain your body once he gets it of the blood, which he has to do, and replace it with the fluids from embalming. So you've got to clear all these areas out so he can do that. The first time that he's ever seen it, and then increase it. So put that in your little calculator about what might be going on. To me, it's absolutely predictable. If you live, and the future is bleak for these people, and I looked at it, I don't have a, except for doing some things, he even says, take an aspirin, or somebody says on it, take an aspirin, you got to thin your blood a bit. I don't know how that's going to stop the interlinkage, the fibril connection creation, this is not a good thing to be looking at a consequence in even a small portion of the population, and how do you know it's not you, your loved ones, and in particular your little ones. Pretty disturbing generally as well. Again, these safe jabs, right? No tests really done on them. And now we're seeing unusual things never before seen. And I guess the protectiveness in me says, if I'm going to do, let's go ahead and use that precautionary principle. If I'm seeing this, maybe it's a good thing I don't wade into that pool. The pool of the insane. And then we have this, again, moving on. What are you potentially giving your little ones? The sarcasm of the honor student against a group of insane leaders, because they're in a group, remember. Each individual one, when pressed, may not have that same opinion, but we tend to go with the herd. And you look at what happened in this thing, we tend to go with the herd. Attorneys reveal a 30% increase in miscarriage and cancer following COVID vaccines in the military. Reading through this, you'll see the sources. This actually comes from a hearing that was being had by Senator Ron Johnson that was attempting to bring people together to expose to him, I suppose, maybe as evidence of the counterindications to this jab. And the military databases are showing these increases over, a 5-year norm. So again, not tested. Everyone's a guinea pig. We're seeing the response. If, in fact, a large percentage of the population of the jabbed are getting blood clots, it's as I told you, the healthy may be able to get along for a while. Their body may quickly allow them to continue to live with these clots for a while, but they're going to be highly diminished, and then they're susceptible to just keeling over, and it'll be blamed on a stroke. It'll be blamed on a heart attack. What I found interesting about that other video, the embalmer, he contacted other people in his industry. He said they were finding similar things, same things actually. And I found it interesting none of those others spoke up. So again, this is, you're looking at the herd insanity to allow it, not speaking, and one individual steps up and causes a notice to us. I almost said alarm. I guess it is an alarm what I wanted to say, but I said notice, okay? We just take this information and we have to then put it into our little calculators of critical thought, and we each decide that. We don't decide that as a group. And health communicable disease law allows us to do that, and it allows us to do that not underneath the scrutiny of an official, but underneath the care of a good doctor that we can choose. And that's where our consent is. That's where our rights are. That's where our relationship is. And you have the right of being fully informed and to say no. It's definitely not some premier somewhere shutting down the your whole entire economy and pressing on certain people that are healthy. Don't forget that now. This is the other thing I don't understand. I don't see Mitch coming out of Canada. These are all a bunch of healthy people until proven otherwise as far as communicable disease law. And so this is showing you the insanity of the premier, likely subject to his own decisions, uninformed decisions to get the jab. I'm sure he's jabbed up. But attorney reveals a 300% increase in miscarriages and cancer. Just what the clinical studies before this thing got kicked in told us, folks. This is just a consistency. Make your decisions. Governmental data shows the unvaccinated are less likely to get COVID. The Public Health Scotland has released data from the past 4 weeks, and it shows that the unvaccinated are less likely to get COVID than those who have been injected with 2 or 3 doses of the mRNA sludge. The ruling class, I don't know why sludge, it's a chemical weapon, folks. The ruling class has been straight up lying about this being a, quote, pandemic of the unvaccinated, obviously. So I'll just stop. The point being is that if you look at the data, you start finding that how could it ever have been that unvaccinated people who are healthy, and likely because they've suffered coronavirus in their life, they've suffered the common cold, they've suffered some form of influenza, how would the unvaccinated be a problem where they're also not asymptomatic as well? And even if you're symptomatic, to what extent? It's only by cooking the book. It's only by epidemiology they call science, which is not. It's bean counting. It's risk management for profit. Should have told us everything from the beginning. And so, unvaccinated are less likely to get COVID. Well, we don't even know that, do we? Because there's really no test, is there? So even these statements are incorrect. But against their records, the Public Health Scotland database is showing the unvaccinated are less likely to get the common cold. Now, as we talk the give and take in Austria, I guess they've got to do relinquishment. I'll just give you a link to see a video. Again, I bring all this stuff up for those of you that are interested, in particular to find out the dynamic of what's going on, the arbitrary and capriciousness that governments will do, the ability to see how they are arbitrary and capricious, which is supposed to be not able to be done. It identified that they aren't even following the mandate to prevent, because it doesn't. They're attacking the wrong people who couldn't be the cause. Or if they had, because this thing, whatever it is so rampant, it means that the herd has been affected to the point that even vaccines, if you had a good one, wouldn't be viable anyway. It's done its job. This is the same problem of the promotion of vaccine coming in on the heels of mankind coming to terms with infectious materials, infectious agents between the 1850s and the 1950s. Mankind adapted and got immune systems bolstered by an influx of whatever caused the implementations that we were seeing and the things, the effects that we were adversely being affected by, maybe likely caused by the government, in particular the UK in the 1850s, starting with vaccines, smallpox. Remember, that's where it all comes from. But anyway, so Austria to now lift the lockdown on unvaccinated residents always. Austria's lockdown for the people to not fully vaccinated against the coronavirus will end on Monday because the pressure of the hospitals has eased, the government said on Wednesday. So that was the whole point I identified for you, through that California case and the restaurants that the court looked at and said, well, your whole point is whether or not your hospitals are being jammed. That's what your interest is. And we found out there that was the whole and entire point, whether or not the government was being overwhelmed in its ability to care for people. Didn't care that they were miscarrying, and we had horrible care there now, but the point was that there had to be a governmental interest, and it was in the hospital demands, and they're finding out that demand has eased. I find that fascinating because we see that, well, how can the moronic variant, the anagram variant, Omicron, be widespread if that's easy? And that's another way to prove whatever this thing is, whether it is the chemical weapon response called a variant or influenza of a new undetermined or a non-determined virus mutation of seasonal flu, which I've told you on and on, the last few years has been getting worse and worse. In fact, someone sent me a thing about, I was just talking about, where is the gentleman? Dr. David E. Martin, I think it is. He writes a summary, got criticisms of it. That's why we're not going to talk about it today. But he mentions that he found his studies were, and to this point, his evidence is critical to understand not what he's using it for, but or how he's using it more importantly. It's almost like looking like a setup for the takedown. But he found, as I found, back in December of 2019, that the influenza was building and killing more and more people every year, that his interpretation was they missed the 2018 opportunity to use influenza to do this very same thing. In other words, we're dealing with the seasonal things. They've put a cover on it that's novel to hide the fact that it's a chemical weapons attack. And people kind of went nuts and forgot to go look at those numbers, as we identified here, and some other people did who were paying attention, that all of a sudden a lot of the beans in the influenza can got moved from the influenza can and put into the COVID-19 symptoms can. Apparently that wasn't important. Now, in these days of these interesting things we're watching, these horrendous things, the responses and consequences, and in all these nonsensical things we talk about and how we, people are pressed to do certain things. You'd think in this day and age, we're in our so-called civilized nature, we would have immigration down, it would be just, we would do certain things the way they should be. People wouldn't be able to feel so oppressed that they have to run from countries to country. But we have now in the middle of winter, the blessings of climate change, the warming that's going on. We have families running from one country to the next to find sanctuary, or they think it is, and not paying attention, and it kills them. You might have a cold and a flu, but this is the cold that'll kill as well. The four Indians, these are East Indians, found dead near U.S.-Canada border was a family from Gujarat. East Indian family finds its way to Kenukistan and then feels it has to flee to the United States in the middle of a 35-degree below zero storm in winter. And they find the family's bodies in a field. So I guess a public service announcement, folks, even if you have to run, sometimes you have to be, there's a pragmatism about running and when you can. I've had to work in 25 degree below zero in a commercial freezer in a grocery store a long time ago, and that is not a place that you, even that little room is not the place that you chance that type of a thing. 35 degrees below zero. Oh, man, I just can't even imagine. It gets right to you. Anyway, I don't know what else more to say about this, folks. There's a dynamic in the world. It's not so utopia. It's contrary to everything that we thought was, life and liberty and justice. That we still have people running from other governments is just a mind-boggler to me. I don't even know where to place it. And in the idea of this climate change, we're winning this global warming, is the cause of everything we are now faced and saw here, the so-called bombogenesis snowstorm in the east. It's just a nor'easter we've been told about. These are not actually all that unique. These severities might be a little bit on the high side, but they all fit with inside the variable. So all of you folks, five states have declared emergencies over this and piles of snow. This is winter, folks. Massachusetts is as much as 2.5 feet of snow and what the locals told to hunker down. So we have locals being told to hunker down while families are fleeing Canada over the tundra, I suppose, at the border. I don't even know what to think. I'm just speechless at some point. This is what's going on. Just the insanity. That people are, again, what can I say? Global warming. What else can we do? 10 people injured in Pittsburgh bridge collapse. And this sets up a dynamic relative to what's going on in the country as well, the infrastructure and all that. A bridge collapse in the city of Pittsburgh. If you didn't understand about the destruction of the infrastructure of America and the misplaced authority, the misplaced direction, all the money that went into committing a fraud to make profit has not been quickly directed to what we need to do, which is not a new story. This infrastructure problem is like forever. But in Pittsburgh, a U.S. city in Pittsburgh has collapsed with 6 vehicles, including a bus on it at the time. And this is interestingly the same place that President Joe Biden was to visit to talk about infrastructure, which certainly looked to me like maybe a drill done right in time, showing the things that he focuses on are too late, not enough. And then he says he's from there. He didn't realize how bad it was, a lack of awareness, but the federal government's coming in because of his presidency to fix all the bridges that is needed in Pittsburgh. Boy, that's an interesting way to say special interest, and I'm going to give a special credit to a certain place. But interestingly, though, this bridge collapses, so-called, or at the time he's going to go visit to do an infrastructure investment to make it look like he's there, I guess, on time to help out. And here's the need. Again, what these governmental types, I don't want to put it on him, just about everybody who's in these positions does it this way. And what you may not understand is what those infrastructure projects are tied to in the so-called future we want. And then also there was a story that I don't have that I remember reading that the price for doing this construction has drastically increased. So there's going to be even more draw to do this at this late stage at a time when we have the economy doing its fiscal gymnastics and making your life more expensive, right? And so, anyway, 10 people got hurt, all on maybe a publicity stunt to try and show that the president was on it, right? But a day late and likely a dollar short, or if he's going to put all the dollars in Pittsburgh, it's not going to really get out to everywhere else. Again, this is not even a new story. This is just if we don't start paying attention locally and getting ahead of the curveball on this, we're really being taken down in lots of places. Certainly, a bridge going down, your transportation is going to be interrupted, more supply chain problem, and they're going to drag their feet is the other thing. I mean, come on, look at how this guy has been handling most all of this. And now moving into, again, what the future they want along these lines and Biden's implementations, and the conditions of what's going on and the notice to us of what the future will hold. New York City Mayor Adams will convert his city paycheck to cryptocurrency via Coinbase. And so everybody in cryptocurrency says, Ray, support you, great. And yet you have to be careful looking at this. And there's an interesting little problem in New York. He couldn't actually directly translate it into Bitcoin. He had to convert it after the payment. They don't allow, the government won't allow to be paid in something other than an FRN. And I'll put in a caveat right now, but he's now promoting Bitcoin. What also turns out that I guess he's in some competition with someone in Florida. And so we see they're showing no political favoritism. Republicans and Democrats will get in a potential, a perceived battle. Who's going to take the benefit of the coins first, the digital currency first? Who is going to move into that realm? As I told you, they're going to get people to think it's normalized that you should move into digital currency. And I've so told you it's going to be a trap. It's going to be a very controllable thing. and they're going to control it. And if they don't outlaw it completely, they'll regulate it. That's one of the techniques that's been known. When you have an outlaw, you regulate their area. You don't keep them an outlaw. You bring them into legalization, and you give them the benefits they'll accept to get their capitulation. And so that's what starts to happen here. This is a big propaganda push. I didn't realize there was this little competition between New York and Florida. But consider the COVID. You think, you know, New York and Florida are the same in that? No, they're make odds, right? The good cop, bad cop stuff. No, this is a promotion. And moving in again with Biden sitting in the background. Remember, hold this thought because I got to go through a couple stories here. But to get back to this infrastructure and how they actually move and maneuver, at the same time this little thing goes on, well, I'm gonna mayor and I'm gonna put my dollars in cryptocurrency and go through that Bitcoin, whatever it is. The Fed releases a long-awaited study on the digital dollar, but doesn't take any position yet on creating one. And if you listen behind the woodshed, I've told you how this works. And then we find something very interesting if we're open to it, that the reason why they haven't is because they're taking public comment. In other words, the Fed is running an administrative rule that you all have the right to comment on. And there have been some input. I don't know. I didn't look more deeply on that. There's a place to be discussing these rules on how they're going to do this. But this is a very instructive story. The Fed releases long-awaited study but doesn't take a position because there's still administrative procedures to find out what the comments are to then derive. They'll disregard all that. They'll derive the rule eventually that when you look very carefully is the central bank, the Fed, becomes a direct access to you. And you've got to think very carefully, and you understand that this is digital currency, that you have to have a phone. You have to have a digital ID. You heard about the IRS needing your face. They're going to need all kinds of stuff. You're being hooked into the matrix. And you will. The other problem is they have complete control and direct control from those that have ruined your life since 1913. And they are considering it. They haven't made a decision, but it's because it's in administrative procedures right now for comment. And I've told you how you can make yourself known and make yourself a point. The thing about this issue, this is really out there on how you would constrain it. They've really expanded the corruption through the good faith and credit of the people of the United States and then confined your input to being a taxpayer. And so there's lots that has to be considered here. The Fed is considering, they're already in the process of adopting the rule to make digital currency valid. And what they'll then do, and they're going to move and look to do, is control, as I told you, regulate all the other currencies and bring them in because they're claiming those are a security risk, a national security risk. Right? If you just follow what I've been saying, it may have been the Wild West and digital currencies was all a setup to get us into the technocratic, controllable, live by the digital lifestyle that has a switch on it for you if they don't like what you're doing. And then we hear this back to Biden, Biden to expand National Security Agency role in government and cybersecurity. If it wasn't enough, there was total dominance, and they said they've been telling us that the military has total dominance over the cyber sphere. They're telling you again they're coming even more, which means they haven't actually. They're coming more, and they're coming to do this based on a national security imperative, and it's going to include all aspects of cybersecurity and all aspects of digital connection. In particular, why the commerce is, or for what? The monetary system, the financial system. You will be directly connected to the Fed now. You won't have any of the rights that they have, but you're going to be directly connected to the control. And I've told you this was coming, and now here it is. The infrastructure is coming to put the national security level, military control, and insight, and other things onto what? What ends up being the currencies. All these coins will become a valid currency, but through controls of the Fed, if it's not an intermediary, at the point the rule starts to be implemented. And so it's turning out like I've been suggesting to you all. I don't know, again, I don't know why people don't see the forest for the trees on all this stuff and put more time into the alternatives that we're going to need. The only model I have about that is, again, the Matrix, the sewer, living in the sewer, the deep web, and being have technology to use and utilize unused addresses to get about and keep away from the Centurions, if you will. No, we would rather jump onto a predictable trap, honeypot, and do that instead of keeping ourselves a mobile and literally digitally free within the context of an infrastructure that was also created by the military for the military. But Biden to expand national security agency role in cybersecurity, it's connected to these this Bitcoin as well. As you're watching this out, the Biden administration to regulate Bitcoin as a matter of national security is another story. As this thing just starts to roll out, like I said, I've talked about these things as dominoes falling relative to the declaration of the so-called virus, the virus, which doesn't exist, being endemic and not pandemic. Yeah, this is all coming down. Bitcoin is a matter Bitcoin as a matter of national security. All they do is define it as something. I told you, you've got to keep them from doing that. And if you can't, then you might as well just move, eventually find the timing to move away. And then it's all electronic. So there's switches that can be happening, whether you get access or not. And I don't know. I don't know what people think about that, why they think it's such a panacea, but I've never seen it that way. Maybe I wasn't so intelligent that way, because I know if you see it as the Wild West and you jump in and jump out, that's being intelligent. You can do that. Take advantage while you can, because there's no crime in that. So I wasn't that intelligent, but then again, I have more things I'm thinking about. My focus has been different, but that was a potential opportunity. No different than if you hear, like, what is it? A drug is going to be made as put on a list for control and regulation. The intelligent mind jumps in on those immediately and then starts to do that for a short time until it's regulated, and then they back off because there's going to be that increase in value for a short time until you now become subject. Same thing on this Bitcoin, but here it comes. White House wants to set a cohesive set of policies to regulate Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies, as the current legislation and its enforcement are scattered across sectors and agencies, according to multiple reports. The executive is calling for the agencies to get together and become a cohesive, singular voice. And for those of you that think it's just cryptocurrencies, anything of digital consequence will be attacked. And here is the should shock some people as we see the big promotion of NFTs, non-fungible tangibles, whatever. Anyway, Bitcoin, cryptocurrency, stablecoins, and NFTs are going to be a part of this. They're monetizing. They're claiming your property to make value, as the mechanism is the property of the government to regulate. If you thought this was your stuff, even NFTs are there. So all these people, these celebrities, they're all going to go for NFTs. What that's all about is being able to tax you, regulate you, follow you, get your face on the IRS in a private, public-private partnership where some private party has all the data, which can be hacked and controlled and whatever. All this nonsense. Why? Because we walked away from money, first of all, and then tangible currency, where we have to do the hand-to-hand type of transaction. So it's all in the works here. Cryptocurrency's been the target that they denied. They're going to regulate it, like I said. It's just the way they do it. And part of me wants to say, look at what I said, and part of me says, well, you know, this is just predictable. Where are we as a society to continue to allow it? What are we doing? When we get notices that our digital world is hackable and infiltratable and surveillable and controllable, and this little notice to us, Winter Olympics athletes advised to use burner phones in Beijing, which I was encouraged about. So burner phones, if I'm going to believe this, burner phones, I guess they're still somewhat protective against governments. If you think Beijing Winter Olympics app is a threat by the Chinese government, then you have to understand that any app is that, and that any app by any that can be infiltrated by any government or any hardware system that's been built with a back door, which we now see more and more, is all a notice to you that you can't trust. But in this case, the Beijing Winter Olympics app that all game attendees must use, COVID Passport, contains security weaknesses that leave users exposed to data breaches, analysts say. Of course, over and over. The My 2022 app will be used by athletes, audience members, and media for daily COVID monitoring. The app will also offer voice chats, file transfers, and Olympic news. The Chinese are saying, balderdash, there's nothing problem, no problem here, but you can take it what you will. These apps are required. You're not going to be able to buy or sell without the mark, as we were told. How did they know that? It just blows me away. I don't care what value or non-value I put on these historic books, if you'd have put them in the mythological section. How are they that accurate? This would be coming on. Below just blows me away, and we just watch that train coming and stand on the tracks. It just blows me away. Anyway, so cybersecurity is telling us, watch out, use burner phones. That's cool. Maybe we can all start to get burner phones. Stop this smartphone technology nonsense. Start to seek out things that are more privatized, and do not consent to anything that you need to sign up for with the government at all. Just say no. And part of that works, folks. I can just tell you it's been working just to say no. No, I don't. No, I don't. No, I don't. Can't do it. Don't have the right. Don't have the money. Don't have the intelligence. Go ahead and take on some liability. I'm just too stupid. Well, you got to be careful, though. They'll probably give you a handler in order to get it. So anyway, if you're going to, you kind of know you're in the system when you have a phone and you adopt into what they're doing. That doesn't mean it's a sin that's unforgivable, but if you don't start working against it, it certainly is, then you consent. And there's some very interesting problems relative to e-government, relative to that, and where do you decide when to go in and when not to go in? And I don't have any hard and fast answers on any of this, but if you are in a cause, like in the case we're looking at right now, in a cause that you really got to press through, because the target is a bigger target, and you have to weather some of the hits. What you do is you leave a record of the violation against the objective law as you move through to get, hopefully you get to the bigger core, which is to expose the entirety. And so the e-government has a tendency to do that. It doesn't mean you don't have a letter you can write and say, that's not for you, you have no capacity, and you still have something to do here. We'll do it by the mail. And I say that with apprehension, because then you find out, like, when you start getting into this, folks, and you really start attacking the system, and you really do what the black and white says, you find out that there's a surrogate system that won't let you at that. And then you start attacking that, and then they call you names and terrorists and all this other stuff, and start bouncing back and forth, and by this time everyone's given up. I'm not going to do all that stuff, right? But you're not exposing the problem. We all know there, but no one has the objective basis, and I'm telling you, over 15 years of doing that, I'm at a place today when it's going to be very, very hard for people that are in places of authority to not do something. And it's taken all this in order to get them just to leave us alone, essentially. And so if you're sitting around just thinking that you can think your way out of this one, or just to be quiet, they won't come to my door. No, these apps are going to be required. If you think you live in a house that's not going to be attached to residence-required apps, you're deluded. And you're going to capitulate. I can already tell. You're going to go. Why? Because you're not taking the steps now that it takes to understand what I'm telling you on how you keep that away from you until they dispose the black and white. And then I show you how you make that impossible. So the Beijing United States government is telling their athletes to use burner phones. Oh, that's great. Let's use burner phones, folks. If we got to use a phone, let's use a burner phone. And let's not use one that we can be tacked onto and have to use in order to do something. If you have to use the benefit, say no. If you have to use a benefit that requires all this connection, say no. Yes, life gets tough. I just tell you, life does get tough. It's scary in a way. But keep pressing. It's not easy. They made this prison not easy. Okay? Revealed UK plans publicity blitz to undermine privacy of your chats. They want everything open. They don't want anybody to be able to hide at all. That tells you what you need to do. You can't be in the chats that are not connected up and secured, and then you have to do multiple layers of security, and you have to be diligent about that. It's why I won't get on a lot of places and do a lot of things with people. I can't get anybody to focus on the more stringent needs. I'm not actually such a stickler, but there has to be some restriction on the access of these surveillable conditions. But the UK government plans Publicity Blitz to undermine privacy of your chats. The UK government is set to launch a multi-pronged publicity attack to end on end-to-end encryption. Rolling Stone has learned one key objective, mobilizing public opinion against Facebook's Faceplant's decision to encrypt its Messenger app. Let me offer something for that. They have the key. They can always unencrypt that on their Messenger app. And so, this is a false story as well, but we're getting the pressure coming that we're getting told, kind of like a Snowjob Snowden type of expose that says, we're here, and we're watching, and we're going to be in every aspect, and we're affecting public opinion by how we do this. And it's the public opinion is a group that can be driven to be insane, that you have to individualize yourself. Or should I say non-individualize yourself as I think about that? Thank you, Solomon. Again, haven't heard from you. Hope everything's okay. Just think about you periodically. Just then again. Labour isn't working election posters among the famous UK public history. The plan to campaign using funds was a spinoff of what they're doing. They're attacking where they attack everybody doing the election fraud. They don't mind the governmental propaganda to do the same problems. Anyway, going on and on here, we're just exposed that the group will be driven insane to decide that they don't need to be encrypted. Why? Because the children. It's for the children, folks. If it's encrypted, we can't see if a child is being talked to by a pedophile. That's how they do it. It's the method over and over and over. And how many people are all that? Not many. And so they get you to capitulate for the wrong of one. Oh, it's a great idea. No, it's not. Not when you think about the ramification, as we find not only the UK, it's all over the place. If you don't think the United States government's in on doing surveillance on their own athletes, you're crazy. Just as they're worried about China, what would be the threat anyway, in one regard, is an interesting question as well. But I thought, at least in America, we just wanted our privacy, period. No conditions, no compromise. But Israeli citizens are targeted by police using Pegasus spyware. As we've heard over and over, this is not unknown, and this is what people do, and yet they, oh, let's do Bitcoin. Oh, let's jump into this social media. Oh, let's go use this app. Oh, let's communicate with our government through this e-thing. Israeli police allegedly conducted warrantless phone intercepts on Israeli citizens, including politicians and activists, using the NSO group's controversial Pegasus hardware. Spyware, do I need to say any more? This is what governments do, and you all that are getting digitalized and you stay there are bringing yourself to being susceptible to the control. No matter how much you complain about it, it's not stopping. And I think it's going to take more than 1.4 million Canadians doing the trucker Ottawa thing myself, but that's a start. You have to get out and try something, and I'm saying make a record so that you make that more permanent. And you have something to rely on. You have something objective, a piece of paper to rely on, which is interestingly is a shield if there's a due process. And if there's not, then you're dealing with a tyrant. You're dealing with someone committing treason if you agree with laws at all. That's a whole different thing. It's a whole different authority to put forward. That was most people looking at that have been seeing the petition, the first thing out of their mind is, was I going to be looking like a conspiracy theorist? And they found out quickly, no. I was, the support for the law that's being violated is so tightly woven, you can't be thrown into a derogatory status from which they can beat you. And that's what I've been asking all of you to do. Learn the black and white so that nobody can put you into anything. Oh, your conspiracy theories or your tinfoil hat. Oh, you're an enemy combatant. No, you set yourself in the law, and the first time they're coming after you, you say, you're the one committing the law. You're the enemy to the law, not me. I'm embracing this law. By definition, I agree with this government. Now, some of you cringe, but I'm telling you that in these days, you don't have to agree with the whole entire government to agree with the protections that the due process says is there to rely on. It may be your only last objective thing to be able to rely on, as the EU wants to, in this governmental governance, incursion and notice to us, the EU wants to build its own DNS infrastructure with built-in filtering capacities. If you didn't think that being able to direct digital data and websites and where you go and domains is not important. Now the EU wants in, and what the story I said last week or the week before, where ICANN and Google might have been getting together in order to do the same thing. What Mozilla has allowed to Google in their open security DNS service, so-called. Everything goes through Google. And now the EU wants that because they want a so-called filter. That's your switch, folks. Right, so this is very important on who's going to gain control now that they've offshored the ICANN type of thing and looked at what DNS services, right, servers are about and the direction that things go. Now, DNS is not the only thing to do. This is why I keep telling you the model I have is being in the sewers of the matrix. Right, we got to go find the internet. The deep web is where the addresses are that are not put in through DNS that are still sitting there. And I'm not sure of all that technology. Partly me says I'm talking a little bit out of the reality, but I don't think so because I've seen some stuff that I think could be tapped. And there just needs to be a protocol with how you follow each other and where you go when you move. And there's addresses out there that are available, even for a time. Anyway, that's the deep web, the stuff that's not, that you don't put through, we want to put in names. Like I'm looking at the record.media website. That's a bunch of numbers actually on the matrix side. It's not a name. And the DNS server is the one that you go through that directs you through that. It has to be centralized. So when you think you're decentralized on the internet, unless you're using deep web, and even then there's some centralization as to networks and nodes, You're kind of stuck to whatever some controller, some filter can do to you. But here we have the EU now stepping up. They're going to take claim to the entirety of the European nation's communication. You don't think that becomes powerful? The ability to control your communication. There's also communication in dollars. GoFundMe withholds $6 million raised for Canadian Trucker Freedom Convoy. We're moving into Kanukistan. What can happen? I haven't heard an update whether or not they've released that or not. $6 million was stolen by GoFundMe under some spacious decision for sure. That you see, if you have to go and rely on someone's service, that's a filter that you have to go through that can control your future. What you get to do and what you don't get to do, as well as interfering with all the speech that was wanting to be supported by everyone who did contribute. Understand both of that is going on. This one company can stop $6 million, and that's, I think, a small value with relative to other things. When you sit yourself in this system, to me, that's no different than having to deal with the Fed and them saying, well, your bank account, oh, and it's gone. And that's a direct connection. If you don't understand the control that's being built up by what appears to be a bunch of dual citizens on top of that, that the Supreme Court has given the sanction of law to control your life, which is totally outside of what the states reserved to themselves to protect themselves from that. You went with the herd. We're all a bunch of insane people. We didn't stand up on our own. And we stop being self-reliant. And that's quite a job, actually. Quite a job. As they're starting to turn this thing down in on us. The truckers are an evidence that you're not getting supplies. around the, even two nations now. Three nations. Last week we heard the Mexican truckers are also involved. But remember, Mexican truckers were given the special corridors underneath the special transportation clause, international transportation, that your land was being taken up to give to them to go between the two nations. That's another type of a fraud we forget. Knowledge under the memory hole. But the GoFundMe, a filtration point, able to stop $6 million worth of benefit raised for the Canadian Trucker Freedom Company. Walmart, Kanukistan, Canadian Walmart's installed vaccine passport scanner booth to screen customers. They're using framed blast screens so that the people that you walk into to see when you walk into the greeters will look and take a copy of your passport, your vaccine passport. If you don't have the mark of the beast, the mark is partly this jab, then you will not be able to buy or sell. Now, that's not quite what they're doing, because now if you don't right now have that passport, the healthy now will have attached to them someone who has a mask and likely jabbed some vector of the venom, the chemical weapon venom, that they are going to be escorted. The unvaccinated will be escorted if you don't have one of these passports to make sure you don't buy a non-essential item. If you didn't understand how groups of people can go insane, think carefully on what's going on and why I say put your document together, which allows you to say that the local health official has not declared you to be an infectious principal with an infectious agent. I've told you this was coming. This now gets back to, I don't remember his name, John somebody that I talked about, who explained to us, if we didn't want to listen behind the woodshed, that you then have to engage the facilities manager and make an incident report of the trespass against you. And you have that document. I've been trying to ask you to get the letter. Well, now we're just going to jump and say, if you don't have a declaration, you send it off and then you don't get a response and it starts becoming valid administratively. And you say, well, I don't have a record decision from the public health official that allows you to say what you to obstruct me and discriminate against me and treat me different, a healthy one, no less. And so you're going to be stopped. You don't do this. The big box stores, I understand this is going to go to Costco as well, are going to cut you out. So Canadian Walmart's installed vaccine passport scanner booths. It's right on the cusp of shutting people out who don't conform, who don't become part of the insane group. And the insane are ruling the asylum as long as you remain silent. Trudeau isolating at home in a bid to dodge massive Canadian trucker caravan. He's smeared as fringe minority. As I said, if it's 1.4 million Canadians and Kanukistanians doing this, this is like a 3%, almost 4% of their population. If my Common Core math works, at any rate, that's more formidable infection than the coronavirus, isn't it? And so, good on you, but I'm asking you to put that in stone, put that in writing, make it important, give yourself a document that you can rely on in a short little statement that I'm reducing the whole thing down to that statement, at least giving you a place to start, because it seems to be too much for people, what I've been saying. I don't know why. I'm asking you to get the background for your foundation to work from so you know what you're dealing with. But in the emergency here of having a whole bunch of people at a place and they're going to walk away from that place, put in a piece of paper that says you have not demonstrated a non-fraudulent exigency for the emergency you declare and your orders are null and void. You then can also add that until this is administratively dealt with and disposed, the null and void is permanent. Sign it. Put your name. You got to be identified. Especially in Kanukistan, there's nobody up there that I don't think is anonymous anymore. So do it. I mean, get it out there. Put yourself on the list of administrative benefit. How do you know that? Because the executive is doing something through the communicable disease law. Justin Trudeau announced Thursday he's going to be isolating himself. Well, now he's been moved off for his protection. Can't be a good thing. It can't be an honorable thing that's going on. And yet I still don't hear that he's not worthy of protection, where nobody has stated that he failed to create a non-fraudulent exigency, giving him the license as if he's somebody real and formidable and have validity in his decisions. Notwithstanding the challenge, because he's taken the jab, because we see these proofs that there's blood clotting going on so bad that embalmers have to yank out whatever the fibril material is being grown in the veins that feed the oxygen to the brain that thinks. This guy has 3 boosters, I understand, if that's true. Even so, it doesn't matter, any boosters, any vaccine. He's suffering from this, and he can't prove otherwise. Needs to be thrown out there, at least. And so you prove that by his insanity, what he's doing. He's isolating, just the word isolating himself at home, in face of an opposition of the government, of the people, the government, the people, when they have the right to do so. What's he afraid of? No, I mean, I haven't heard of any Canuckistinians swinging from the tall oaks up there. Well, maybe because you don't have tall oaks, do you? Do you have tall oaks up there? Anyway. No, I haven't heard anything of violence going on up there. No, he runs. He runs because he's a criminal. He can't substantiate himself. And all it's waiting for is 1.4 million people to make that certain in black and white. Piece of paper, signed. Now deal with that. 3% of your population, that's pretty close to throwing over the system, isn't it? No, you're not throwing over the system. You would say, yeah, oh yeah, we're going to be... No, what you're doing is you're ousting usurpers in the system. That I understand is, if I can get to this, and I'm getting close. You have a charter up there that was specially written and adjusted in 1981. That necessarily will be violated when they don't, under police power, don't declare a non-fraudulent exigency. That's not even a question to me. Let me move on to that because I want to get there. It's very important. Anti-vaccine protest largest in human history, over 31 million worldwide. That's almost as much as the people in Canada in population, isn't it? Worldwide. Almost the entire nation of Canada worldwide is protesting right now. I'm asking y'all, right, go through your communicable disease laws, identify the duty has not been done, say the failure of the duty not being done makes their rules null and void. They have no jurisdiction. I go, more words. I could add more words, but it seems to confuse people. At least get your document written and asserted. There's more legalistic ways, like certified mail, return receipt, whatever you do in your countries, to make it evidence that you did it. I would ask you to do all that, but it seems to be too much when I say this stuff. It seems to confuse people. Get your first notice down and start utilizing the due process that was providing to you to stop. Be the individual that's not insane, that says, I have rights and you won't. They're not interfered with. You have failed your duty. See, the other argument about this conversation with this previous gentleman, making the author of your charter, is he thinks that's threatened, and it's not. It's just been evaded. And you have to find, you've got to track down the usurper that did it. You do it by a record, not your opinion. Anti-vaccine protest, largest in human history. This is happening, folks, but it's, my mind, it's not happening. And if I told you this, my concern will be we failed as mankind and womankind. And certainly that little girl speaking truth to power, it's sarcastically nevertheless. We are not going to leave our record of that we did more, that they are not to do this. They will not do this in the future. And we've figured out how they took us down for 2 years. And we'll not allow that to happen again. And the news of the day is the truckers' convoy. All kinds of people are going with that, folks. But while you're in Ottawa, you're in the government, the seat of power, I understand, for Canada, drop your notice. It's not with the parliament. The parliament has already done their job in providing the communicable disease laws that protected you. It's with the executive and the agency now underneath an administrative duty to fulfill its obligations to you under its primary burdens, not that it threatens your constitution, your rights, your charter rights. They're still there. That's why you get to do what you're doing and to point out the maladministration. Be careful on what you put on the table for being questioned. Now I get to the interview. Canadian Constitutional Crisis, the gentleman's name, Brian Peckford. And he's interviewed by Jordan Peterson. And I'm encouraged a bit about Jordan Peterson. Like I said, I've had some trouble in the past of this dual message when you understand the language that's being used. And he's an academic. But something's changed in him a little bit. And he wants people, he's seeming to be very careful. You'll see it in the video. He produces this interview full from the beginning to the end, even before the production, the pre-production stuff. Now, that's not too much of a big deal, more than I think that shows something. And he says that. It shows that we're trying to show people that there's nothing behind this other than what you see here. Brian Peckford, who was the author of your charter up there, explains that he believes it's being violated. And I'm going to offer, if anybody can get the message to him, that's not what's being violated. What was violated is the parliament. The parliament's not under attack. The parliament did their job. They fulfilled their job in the communicable disease law, which was violated, which necessarily brings the charter into attack. So does your health. So does your economy. Why? Because there's no basis, lawful basis for the emergency. And so I've got to caution us when listening to this. They're bringing up too many side issues. They talk about the mitigation side, about the masks, the jabs, and all that. That's a consequence of the failure to do the communicable disease duties and obligations. A failure of complying with the common law requirement, a burden upon a government official in matters of prerogative power invoked through in this case, a purported emergency, a disaster. And so this interview is important to see for you in Kanukistan. There's a gentleman, the author of this, stepping up to say, no, this is the way this is supposed to be. I'm suggesting that you strongly go look at your communicable disease laws and say, that's just a consequence of the failure of the communicable disease laws to work. Your charter's not actually under threat. And yet the consequence of the failure to do the non-fraudulent, instead moving on a fraudulent purpose, was to destroy the rights that are working and active. If they weren't working and active, he wouldn't be able to say what he's saying. So that's not the problem. Anyway, hope you understand the distinction here. They're correct to go and protect you and try to protect you, and the author of it is important to be there, but that's only because he has to do that because there has been no check and balance by the entirety of the government on a misstep from the beginning, allowing fraud to become the exigency. And in equity jurisdiction, that is to have been stopped, and it can be stopped. It's supposed to be stopped in days, if not sooner, immediately, like we're in one state, forthwith. Anyway, I don't know. Very important. I did listen through the entirety of this interview. I did take notes. I won't bore you with them. I do wish I had better connection to these people, but I'm a little concerned at this point. Everybody has their direction, and the attorneys have gotten involved, and that's where it starts to be very difficult to make a communication. And I've found I'm not the one to directly address that. Everybody believes these attorneys know what's going on, and I'm really not so sure. I've been proven out in my concern over 2 years. Not one case goes through and gets the answer. Not one case actually attacks the fraud. Not one case attacks what is purporting to be an authority that runs under the color of authority. That's another kind of fraud. And I guess I'm the harpy on this. That's where the failure is. It's in the beginning of the failure to do the duties that government officials were to do. If the charter was not in force and effect, you could not argue you had rights that were being violated. That's a consequence of the wrong in the first place. That common law underneath the doctrine of police power dictates upon the official, not you. Am I explaining this? I mean, I get I don't even know. I got too much feedback. A little bit of feedback. A little bit of feedback comes to me that I need to explain things a little bit more, but I'm not quite sure. This is the problem I've expressed before. This is the problem of what do I say? How much do I say? Who's listening to it? Obviously, you look around, I've got a very small amount of people that want to listen to this stuff. And don't know, I see some people doing things with it, and we kind of correspond about that, and I try to make sure people are on the narrow path so they don't get lost, because it's easy to go around and do things. No different than this gentleman who was the author of the charter. They're not even looking at the code that's been violated to get them to this condition. That is a fraud. That's an interesting problem. I don't have the doubt these people are very intelligent people, but I think we got ourselves misfocused on what they're doing to us, and what instead of what they should have been doing for us before they started doing what they are doing to us. And what they were supposed to do for us was to give us the non-fraudulent agency for which they are acting. It's easy when there's a flood. You know, I can just say, I understand that. Well, there's the flood, and that's the area that got flooded, and this is where the emergency is, and it's going to be emergency for the first few days while we get things organized, and then we go into recovery mode. Yeah? But they did a really intelligent thing, a smart thing, by going after the medical side. I told you that early on. So, again, constitutional crisis, very important interview to listen to. I would ask you, though, to if you have connection to any of these people, and I'm trying to figure out how to communicate with these people. I don't know. I may have tracked down the email to Mr. Peckford, but then it becomes a communication issue. Is he already set in his ways because of his attorneys? Have they worked really hard to find the avenue? Will he be receptive? And am I wasting his time or my time or both? And I find my experience has been it really ends up being the waste of time generally. And so I'm a little bit hesitant to insert myself. But anyway, that's the answer I'm trying to provide for people is that you out the fact of the fraud. Do not leave that unchallenged, because the courts have come back to tell you if you don't, if you do not do that, we're going to give the determination right, the jurisdiction beforehand, presumed upon the right, upon the official and the right to have authority to make a decision. In fact, one of the documents that was I read by David E. Martin sent to me, he mentions, as I mentioned to somebody, thank you for the emailer, he mentions Jacobson, and yet he does not mention the exception, the duty of the court to inquire upon the fraud. He just mentions Jacobson, which most everybody agrees is the state's power to do what they're doing. So built right into his own argument is the failure. And so this is what I'm showing. It's a subtle problem, and it's a problem nonetheless. And the one case in Tennessee that I know that was asserting that fraud, there is no justice, there's no law, there's no equity in that state. And we're having to now prove that out, step by step, record motion by record motion, step by step. It's become a dogfight, as I said, I predicted when they didn't come in 2 weeks and give us the answer one way or the other. They knew they have a problem. Anyway, got to move on here to maybe the ramifications of how we start being divisive in ourselves and how we don't understand. And this is kind of why I even bring it up, it speaks to more of what I'm talking about. When we start listening to people that start grouping up and decide they have something to protect and they have a better idea, and no one ever goes to the law to see if the objective basis was followed. And we get these kinds of problems and disappointments, really, because this next story is somebody as a musician and maybe even his girlfriend teaming up to attack someone else for speaking their mind. We also out of Kunukistan, a little bit less of him, I think, at this point. Maybe it's the point about saying continue to make music, but please do not rail upon with your ignorance. And I have to go by what my experience in this world is and my study. And you know I've been pretty vocal about what that is and haven't found anybody to send me an email to say you've got it absolutely wrong, here's where, and definitively show me that. And actually, I don't believe that's the case. I think I look at this stuff pretty objectively, and I really work a lot real hard to understand it correctly and to apply it correctly. And I don't know about not being perfect. You know, no one's perfect, but I do my best. So in this case, I'm disappointed to hear a statement. It's him or me. Neil Young throws tantrum over Joe Rogan, demands Spotify remove his songs, and his friend, girlfriend, maybe, or maybe not. Joni Mitchell, I think, did the same thing, said that it's either us or him. Now, again, I mean, the guy, Neil Young, I don't know how much music I listened to. The guy really appreciated it. I don't know what to say about it. The gentleman had an insight and an expression in music on political matters that he really should stick to. And I'm not so sure he's done himself any justice. He says that Rogan's, if I get this, fake information, a fake information in quotes. My view on this, and not to get in an argument with him, but just disappointed more than anything else to see that. It's him or me, based on the guy who would tell you that, you know, freedom is important, that his interpretation of fake information is based on fraud, and he hasn't observed that. And then I sit back even more step and say, well, the fake information that Joe Rogan's putting out is not that he should be him or me. It's that they're all messed up. They're both, three of them, all these people are not discussing the correct manner. By walking in and having Joe Rogan, I've not missed him, it's not fake information, it's information. But to have people that come in and talk about how bad the vaxes are without showing and even commenting, that there has never been the determination on anyone that they are the vector which needs the police power works on. And not instruct people on how they're supposed to approach this problem. In other words, how their officials were duty bound to follow to do this. I think is a major failure on all their parts. I guess I should step up then and say, are we even on Spotify? My stuff on Spotify or Rogan's? Kick him off. 11 million viewers per episode. Kick him off. Right. Anyway, I'm a lot disappointed in Neil Young talking about fake information when I know he's dealing from the insanity of a fraud and he hasn't cleared his mind. I don't know if I should, well, maybe I'll just leave it right there. We could get maybe a derogatory point, but I just find it interesting, maybe not so derogatory, affectionately called the hippies of the past, speaking of freedom and liberty, doing this today is really an anomaly. It's just the epitome of the insanity starting to rule and guiding us. So I don't know what else to do. I'm just disappointed. As much as I admire these folks, the talent that came out and the insight was, you know, that it's part. Music is part of your life. To see this kind of a fracture in what you think to be cognizant, aware people is really kind of an astonishing point. I guess I mean it's pretty. World-shaking in a way. People aren't looking far enough in. We're more ready to attack. And I have to wonder, are they jabbed? And that's why they're coming up with this? They really can't think? Is this really evidence of maybe we're seeing that about what I was talking about, the fungus that attacks us that then goes out to get others, to make more of them? In fact, a friend of mine sent me, I guess it was a movie about some aliens that came and attached themselves to people so that they could operate, you know, the body, because the meat suit, they could control the meat suit through attaching to their spinal cord. That's what this stuff is doing. And then it kind of kills you with these apparent fibrous materials growing in your system as your body's fighting off the attack. Amazing immune system that's been used against itself. Now, we're going to switch gears just a little bit more to the politics side and how we get here and the idea. Again, to me, it's the propaganda about the vote. Now, locally, I think that's possible. It's something to do. It's something you need to step up to, possibly, because I do see power locally. Nationally, not so much, I don't think. Certainly, as we're getting abused by congressmen in the public domain, privately owned against us as minors, the congressmen are completely in violation of their trust. Interesting dynamic and instruction, in particular to my study this year while I was writing our petition, and the idea of where is the place and where is the attorney general's. Interesting case come up in out of Texas. Texas attorney general asked the court to reinstate his power to prosecute election violations. Texas attorney general Ken Paxton has asked the state's highest criminal court to reconsider the recent decision that stripped his agency of the power to prosecute election law violations. This is an interesting insight. The court denied his ability because they said it was a separation of powers breach. He is, because in the state of Texas, the power to prosecute has been invested in only the local prosecutor, which is in the judicial branch of the government there, and the Attorney General is in the executive branch. What I was telling you, the agencies go to Attorney General. You and I can't go there. The Attorney General is the attorney for the state as an entity, a corporation. The Supreme Court there said the Attorney General has no power to prosecute elections fraud cases, where he found, the Attorney General found the local prosecutor was not prosecuting what he thought, what the Attorney General thought were clear violations of law. Notwithstanding that, the Supreme Court of that state came back and said, you don't have the power. What's interesting about that for me is that's exactly the disconnect I found in the state that I wrote the petition in. And it made a very interesting way to get through the petition to invoke the power of the Attorney General. I mentioned it when I said they have a power to oversee and defend the defenseless and the oppressed. And yet, there's that still, that consistent model connection, work, that the local attorney must request from the Attorney General the need, the help. And so, very interesting here, if you read, and you got to look in your mind about how your place, this place has been wired in Texas, and I think it's everywhere pretty much. There is definite, you have to think jurisdictionally on everything that we're doing, and it cuts to the core of everything I analyze to give us insights on how we might better move along as these things, these insanities, these dysfunction of government comes upon us, and our need to maintain the vested condition, the existing, prior existing condition that's being overthrown and usurped from the inside, like no other cancer, like any other cancer, I guess I should say. Now we move on again, a bit of politics and the rights and the thing that's being attacked. California judge rules Google's confidentiality agreements break labor law. You start looking at this case in California, the heat of the censorship and the propaganda systems, they attack their employees' non-disclosure agreements. They have been found to be in excess of what they can do and violate the law. Again, the individual not stepping up has allowed, until now, someone did step up, this violation of the employees' rights to prevail. In fact, why I'm bringing this part up is because I've told you, as an employee, even in a slave, master-slave relationship, the government has extended to the slave in that relationship certain rights. One of which, for the purpose of this false emergency, this fraud called an emergency, is the right to insist on the necessity before the company gets authority to have a say. All right? So it's all consistent. I guess that's all I want to point out on these stories, these notices to us of how things work, if we haven't paid attention. They're consistent with what I was saying. The Essential Survival Guide, I want to point out, this is a link for you. Understand and accept that we're having trouble that way. Start preparing that this is a real matter that has to be addressed. We have only certain things to do. We're going to have to work within those certain capacities. I want to give us some encouragement that we're going to have some responsibility here to take on, as these insane people in office and maybe made and escalated quickly by this jab technology may be causing upon us. And quickly, I want to point out here, moving on here, that there's been a conversation also in the digital realm that a couple weeks ago, the AT&T Verizon paused some new 5G after airlines raise alarm. And I want to point out that there seems to be some alarm in how this 5G really works. I have some links that there's now an explanation as to why the airlines fear 5G will upend travel this week. There's a big fear coming on, but if you look a little bit farther in the technology, the 5G is not 5G. It's 4G with a lot more lines underneath the status of what we have. I'll be with you next week. Tech Tips for Nature Willing.
Well, that's another lesson. I hope with today's information you can take it to those that misbehave. From behind the woodshed, leaving his mark on the beast, this is Hal Anthony. Till next time, journey with purpose.
Opening up a can of whoop-ass feels like.
Son, I
just open a whole case of Wolfpath.